Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is my pastor, Brian Hurlbut from Lifeline Community. You can catch Brian's show just before hours in the morning at 9:30 a.m. on KUTR. But I wanted to have Brian come in and give us a pastoral perspective on a book written by Dr. Richard J. Mao called Talking with Mormons, An Invitation to Evangelicals. Dr. Mao was the one who spoke in 2004 prior to Ravi Zacharias, where he gave an apology to the LDS people, saying that we evangelicals have borne false witness in how we portray Mormon teachings, a statement that I have said we are still feeling the sting from after all these many years. But he's written this book talking about his private discussions with Mormon academics, Mormon individuals. And I think the sad part is he somehow ties in what he's hearing from some of these academics as actually being a big, huge, encouraging change in the Mormon church. And though I would share Dr. Mao's enthusiasm and encouragement that there are some BYU professors that sound more evangelical than certainly those of the past, but this only proves that they are coming our direction. And if I was to go up to any of those and congratulate them and say, you know what, I just heard what you said, and I'm excited, you're coming our way. I'm glad to hear that. When I've done that with Mormons, I find they don't like that because we're the apostates. We are a part of the great apostasy. Why is the Mormon church moving towards apostasy? Yesterday, we were discussing some of what we see as theological flaws on the part of Dr. Mao. And we want to continue that discussion today when he talks about a phone call that he received from a Latter-day Saint at his office. He says, this person called up and said, let's see if I can get the exact phrase where it starts. The Mormon said to him, lately, though, I've had some questions. I've read about your dialogue with some of our LDS scholars, and I'd like you to tell me whether you think I'm a Christian. I told him that I'd have to ask him some questions, and I'd need some honest answers from him. He agreed. Here's the gist of our exchange. The first question he asked was, how many gods are there? I asked, to which this Mormon on the phone said, well, there is one Godhead made up of three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he responded. What do you think about that answer, Brian?
I think that's standard Mormon fare in the language, and it is quite a ways away from Nicene language in terms of what's meant behind it. So the surprising thing for me is that Richard Mao seems to take things at face value, and he only has two categories. Either I'm to embrace at face value from my interpretive grid that they're saying the same thing I'm saying, or I'm to see them as deceptive and trying to woo me away. Now, I've got Mormon friends, Mormon neighbors. I don't look at any of them as though they're diabolical, deceptive artists who are trying to woo me away. What I think of them are people with similar values that I have, who are in large part lovely people, who are passionately, many of them, committed to a worldview that uses the same terminology in many ways that I use, but with vastly different vocabulary meanings to those terms. So out of sincere hearts, they have different meanings. Now, what I'm trying to do is press to the clarity issue and find out what's behind that. In this little phone conversation that you started, Dr. Mao never presses to see what clearly is being said in the statement, well, there's one Godhead made up of three divine persons. Now, if you've followed Mormonism at all or know anything about Mormonism, if you're listening, you know that they've always rejected Trinity, mm-hmm. in favor of a view that sees, for at least our world, a tritheism, and those three gods are all sort of on the same team, wearing the same jersey, in a sense.
Yeah, the Father is a God, the Son is a God, the Holy Ghost is a God.
And they're one in purpose,
correct,
but not one in essence. And that language is so, so defining. That mm-hmm. little phrase, one in purpose, but not one in essence, okay. is what makes Mormonism heretical at the very top, and everything else kind of flows down from that.
Mm-hmm. In that conversation, the next question Dr. Mao asks of this Latter-day Saint, will you ever become a God like them? Oh no, I hope I'm becoming more Christ-like, but only the three persons of Godhead are worthy of worship. More like God, yes. To be a God, no way. Well, if you understand Mormonism's history at all, that's the one thing that people often will point out about the LDS teaching, is they do in fact believe they can become a God. What do you do with the Lorenzo Snow couplet? As man is, God once was, as God is, man may be. Certainly they do believe that they're going to be like God. They kind of equivocate on the word like. What does that really mean? And some Mormons will say, well, we'll never be above God or equal to God. He will always be ahead of us. Well, my question is, well, will you share the same attributes as this God? Spencer Kimball said, most clearly, you will be omnipotent. You will be omniscient. And he gave some of these attributes of God, and they will share in those attributes. If you're not going to be exactly like God, then can we assume that the God that they are worshiping right now is not exactly the same as the God that preceded him? Hmm. If he's less a God that preceded him, then we have to assume that that God must be less of a God that preceded him.
Right.
And if you take that clear back into eternity, do we even really even have any gods right now?
You've got finite godism meets an infinite regress of gods.
And that becomes very problematic.
The other part about that is I have a friend who was teaching in a venue here in Utah and with a number of school-age students, that many of them were LDS. And his comment in regard to this was, apparently Richard Mao isn't with me in my class, because as he engages these students, what he finds is that they embrace the Lorenzo Snow couplet mm-hmm. as, if not dogma, as an essential commentary on dogma.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea that somehow this guy's representation in this phone conversation would be indicative of a typical Mormon is flawed to the core. But that's what makes the book flawed to the core,
mm-hmm.
is that the sampling he has of Mormons is not the typical sampling of the person on the street, nor the typical sampling of what's being said in the local ward house.
And it's not that there aren't Mormons who don't know this. I just engaged with a Mormon on a blog site just recently in the past few days, where he insisted that if you think Mormons are going to become a god and get their own planets, you're sadly misunderstanding Mormonism. And I wrote back and said, well, maybe you don't believe that, but these Mormons do. And right. then I proceeded to quote several LDS leaders who clearly make it the statement that they can become gods. So you're going to find some that don't. He goes on in questioning him. He says, what is the basis of yourself for your salvation? Do you earn it by your good works? And this Latter-day Saint answered Dr. Mao by saying, no, my good works can't save me. I'm saved by grace. Through the atoning work of Christ on the cross, my good works, those I perform in gratitude to what he has done for me. As I mentioned earlier, this is the kind of language that we're seeing now, but that's not the language that we saw from Mormons back 30, 40, 50 years ago. No, my good works can't save me. I'm saved by grace. I would have said, are you referring to exaltation? Or are you talking about general resurrection being, just general salvation? Because Mormons leaders have been clear that they don't believe works have any involvement whatsoever in general resurrection. Right. Everybody's going to be resurrected regardless of what you believed and did. But when it comes to exaltation, they have certainly said that works are a part of it.
A question I found effective a bit is asking, could I go to the celestial state if I never went to the temple at all?
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten actually two different responses, one outside of the box and one from a BYU prof much inside the box. But I think that for most Mormons, that question brings a little bit of an oddity. The temple is highly valued, and so the idea that I could achieve the same thing they could achieve by going through all the temple ordinances and processes is for most Mormons just unthinkable. And so the moment we now make inclusion in temple rituals and practices and processes essential for exaltation, we've necessarily embedded works as a part of exaltation.
Mm-hmm. The sad part is Dr. Mao does not carry this conversation any further. He doesn't, if he did, he doesn't put it in the book. He may have asked more questions. I don't know, but I have to assume Dr. Mao felt that what he included in the book was enough to make his point. I would have said, wait a minute. I can think of a bunch more questions that I probably would have asked for greater clarification. And isn't that really what he's trying to get across to us?
I think so.
He's trying to get across to us that we need to clarify and find out what Mormons really believe on these issues. Well, I don't think his little scenario here did that.
No, it doesn't at all.
And I would have asked some more specific questions. Well, just in that last, the first section. Okay, what do you mean by three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Three gods make up a Godhead or what? I would have asked those things to find out. Because I think Mao did this gentleman a disservice.
Well, he did him a disservice, and I will say this. He's a Calvinist, and he's a creedal Calvinist. And he did him a disservice as a creedal Calvinist because a creedal Calvinist needs to do the diligence of holding to the language of those creeds, and there's nothing that smacks of a clear definition of Trinitarianism. And again, that doctrine becomes a fountainhead from which an understanding of the nature of Jesus, an understanding of the nature of the Spirit, an understanding of the nature of the Father, and their interplay together, and all of their collective workings in the world play out from. So to not ask a follow-up from that seems astonishing.
Well, Dr. Mao says, I would say, yes, those are good Christian answers. So I have to say that to you that I think you've answered some important questions in a very Christian way. He goes on to say that he then pushed me a step further. Well, I really do believe what I said to you. So do you think I should leave Mormonism if that is what I believe? I paused before answering. Then I told him I'd recommend that he stay in the LDS Church. But keep saying these things, I urged, and if the Mormon leaders ever tell you you can't give those answers to the basic questions, then I'd recommend that you leave Mormonism. The problem is, Dr. Mao, they can give those answers, and they've been giving those answers for years. This isn't something new.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Viewpoint on Mormonism is a radio show dedicated to discussing the differences between Mormonism and Christianity in a loving, gentle format. Sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry, this show's goal is to look carefully at the Bible and determine whether or not the beliefs, as taught by the leaders of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, correspond to truth. Now, whether you're a Latter-day Saint or a Christian, you can contact us and even ask a question that we could answer in a future show. Here's how. Email us at contact@mrm.org. Again, that's contact@mrm.org. And if you're a Christian who would like to financially support this radio ministry, you can do that as well. Just go to our website, www.mrm.org, and go to the right top button called Donate. This ministry cannot exist without the financial support of our friends and listeners, and we are grateful to everyone who plays a vital role in what we do. Again, that's mrm.org. We're glad to be on the air and providing this information to you.